Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says in verse 7, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Christ. Paul said unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The subject is riches to the least. Riches to the least. Paul was being grown in grace by our Lord. At first he said, I'm the least of the apostles. He said, I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. I'm the least of the apostles. And a little while later, having seen the riches of Christ more, he said of himself, I'm less than the least of all the saints. And then at the end of his life, having seen the riches are all in Christ and all access and boldness is in him alone, Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's growing in the knowledge of the Lord. Listen to the words of Agur. Agur, he's most likely Solomon. Most likely after the Lord recovered him and restored him. And he saw himself to be vanity, as well as everything in the world to be vanity. Proverbs 30, verse 1, the words of Agur, it means gathered. And this is most likely when the Lord had gathered him after falling and fumbling around through his life, and he gathered him, made him know he was the gathered. He's the son of Jacob, which means blameless, and truly God's children are the son of Christ Jesus, the blameless. This was his prophecy. He spake to Ithiel and Ucal. Ithiel means God is with me. Ucal means devoured. Christ said, God is with me. And on the cross, his visage was marred more than any man. He's speaking to two young disciples, two young students of the gospel. And he says this. This is what Agur said about himself. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. This is where the riches of God's grace brings you. I'm more brutish than any man. I don't even have the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom. I didn't teach myself. I didn't learn wisdom. Nor have I the knowledge of the holy. Who is that wisdom? And who is the holy who has knowledge? I don't have the knowledge he has. Who is he? He answered it with some questions. He said, who hath ascended into heaven or descended? That's Christ alone. He's wisdom. He said, who gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What's his name? And what is his son's name? If thou canst tell, every word of God is pure. He's saying, there's my riches. There's my riches. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add not to his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Don't add anything to his gospel. Don't add anything to salvation. Christ alone. Now listen to what he asked of the Lord. Two things I've asked of thee, Lord. Deny me not them before I die. This is where wisdom brought him. This is all he wanted right here. Remove from me vanity and lies. And you can tell by what he just said about himself. He's talking about himself, his own sinful flesh, and this world and everything in it. Give me neither poverty nor riches. That is, poverty of this world or riches of this world. Feed me with food convenient for me. Give me grace. Give me your gospel. Lest I be full and deny thee. That is, if I'm made rich in this world, I'll be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Well, that's exactly what Christ gives to them who are his. And he starts out making you say, I'm the least of this group. But then he teaches you over a little while, I'm the least of all the saints. And then he keeps teaching you until finally you get to the end and say, I'm more brutish than any man. I've not learned wisdom. His words are pure. He's the gatherer. I'm the chief of sinners. And Paul speaks here that the way God does this is he gave him the riches of Christ that he might preach these unsearchable riches of Christ. The one way for you and me to see we're poor in our flesh is for the Lord to make us see his riches. His riches. You know, you might get to a point where you kind of think you have some understanding, and then the Lord shows you something of yourself and how unlearned you are, but he shows you that by showing you how wise Christ is. And that makes you say, I'm not wise. And then if you thought you were rich in this world or whatever, and even if you just looked at some man that's super wealthy, you'd realize, I'm not rich in this world. Well, he shows you himself and makes you know he's the richest. Everything's of him. So I want to talk about the riches of his person, the riches of his work, and the riches he gives us beginning to end. The riches of his person. It is the Lord Jesus himself who is our salvation. He is the riches. He is the riches. He's the Word who is pure. That's what Agur said. His Word is pure. He's the Word that's pure. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's what Paul said. Christ Jesus made everything. He is God, our Savior, brethren. Just our Savior is God. Our Savior is God. That man, Christ Jesus, is God. He's the Word. And he's the creator who made all things, and he's the Word who spoke it all into existence out of nothing. He didn't use anything when he created a new man and you, just like he didn't use anything when he created the world. It's called a creation. He created something that was not there. That's what he does. That's what he does. He upholds all things by the word of his power. The wind and the sea obey his command. Why is it colder this morning? We walked out, and the first thing Kristen said, it's cold. I said, it's a lot colder than I expected it to be. Why? He controls everything. It does his bidding. He says, let there be snow. There's snow. He says, let it be dry. There's going to be a drought. He controls everything by the word of his power. This is our sovereign Savior. I have a dear sister I was talking to yesterday, and she's got some trouble. She's got a son that's real sick, and she told me, she said, I wouldn't have any comfort if I didn't know my God is sovereign, and he's doing this. He's doing this. Our Savior's sovereign. He came and he dwelt among us and revealed himself to us. Talk about riches. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's the glory who is the only begotten of the Father. He's the glory of God, our Savior, Christ Jesus. And He's full of grace and truth. The riches He gives us is Himself. He's the treasure. He's the pearl of great price. That's who He is. His grace is not just something outside of Himself. His grace is His fullness. It's of Him. It's Him giving Himself to you. He's our wisdom. He's our light. He's our strength. He's our comfort. He's our peace. He's our joy. My joy I give to you, He said. He's that joy. He's that joy. The Lord is the truth. He's the promise of God. He is the gospel. He is the covenant. He is salvation. He is salvation. Search the Scriptures, He said. They are they which testify of Me. They are they which testify of Me. What do you search the Scriptures for? They are they which testify Christ. And of His fullness have all we received grace for grace. We've been made rich. You that know Him, you've been made rich. You are the richest people on this earth. Unsearchable riches that Christ has given you. What about the riches of His work? That's the riches of His person. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We're going to see second hour, His presence is with us and we don't even know it. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. That's Him. That's the rich pearl of great price. And then what about His works? The riches of Christ being our surety from before the world was made. You know, Judah became surety for Benjamin. This is what he said. He said, I will be surety for him. Of My hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let Me bear the blame forever. That's what Christ did for every one of God's elect before this world was made. Christ Jesus said, I'll go into that world. I'll make them righteous. I'll put away the sin. I'll call them. I'll keep them. And I will bring them to you. And you can require it of Me if I don't. That's why He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's why the works were finished from the foundation of the world. That's how God your Father prepared a kingdom for you from before the foundation of the world. He gave you to Christ, and Christ became your surety. That's rich, brethren. That's riches. That's riches. So you have the riches of His unchanging love in Christ. Adam's fall and our fall did not change God's love for us. We fell in Adam. We became guilty in Adam. We died in Adam. That did not change God's love for us because His love was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll tell you something. If we can get a hold of what that means, of how... what a rich, rich blessing that is. That will help you in every season of darkness to know God's love did not change even when we fell in Adam. Then when we were conceived in sin and came forth ruined sinners, God's love never changed, never wavered. And brethren, here's the good news. Now that He's called us, at our very best state, we are altogether vanity. At our very best state, all our very best works are just filthy rags. We don't see that comparing them to one another. Compare them to Christ. Compare them to Christ. Look to that darkness and see His perfect faithfulness, the pure word He promised the Father that He'd believe Him and trust Him and never waver, and see Him never wavering, and you'll see whether your faith wavers. And you'll see where your true riches are. They're in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the Lord, I change not, and therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Nor depth, nor height, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, because it's in Christ Jesus our Lord. What about the riches of his work of redemption? 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love to read that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is his grace. This is his grace. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He was rich. I mean, it's never entered our mind how rich. He created all things and he owned all things, seen and unseen. We just see the seen things, and we don't see all of that. He owns everything, created all things, seen and unseen. He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. That's rich. And yet, for our sake, for the sake of his people, he became poor. He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all praise, and he made himself of no reputation. He created all things, and he said, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. He made man, and then he came forth and was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. You think of the poverty of the cross. He was made what he hated. This Holy One, who knew no sin, was made the sin he hated. He took all the sin of all his people, not just Adam's sin, all our iniquities, every thought, every word, every deed. He became what we are and took all our sin that he hated. I can't even imagine it. I cannot even comprehend the unsearchable riches of that, how poor he made himself. Agony of soul, bearing the wrath of God that you and I would have had to bear. Poor. But he did that for us. He became poor for us who hated him, who sinned against him, who did not love him, who did not want him to save us, who never have ever really served him as he ought to be served. And he did it that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. How rich? Rich with the full, free righteousness that he is. That will never change. No matter what we do, that'll never change. He's your righteousness. Every dot of this law and every T of this law, he has crossed it and dotted it. He has fulfilled it so that God looks upon you in Christ and says, well done. You've done it perfectly. You've done it absolutely perfectly. Rich with full free redemption. He purchased you from the curse. He purchased his people from the curse. He bought us from the curse because he bore the curse in our place. You won't bear the curse. You won't bear the curse. He will not let you bear the curse. He bore it. His justice, his glory is at stake. You cannot bear the curse. He promised the fathers, our surety, I'll bring him to you. And so he did what was necessary. Rich with an eternal inheritance. Inheritance that is prepared and it is reserved in heaven for you he redeemed. Prepared and reserved. And you're being kept by his power because He will see to it you have that inheritance. Brethren, that's rich. That's riches. Unsearchable. Ephesians 2:6 said, this is why he raised us up together. When he raised Christ, he raised us up together. He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Here's why he did it. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, half hadn't been told. We can turn the face of this diamond all our life. And that's all the preaching of the gospel is you just keep looking at a different face of the diamond. And we won't exhaust it. We will not exhaust. We won't even touch the surface. And we're going to be eternity learning what exceeding riches he's shown us in his grace and kindness to us. Well, what about the riches he keeps on giving us? Well, he called us. That's riches right there. We would have never known him if he didn't call us to begin with. We had nothing to do with that. He quickened us. He gave us the riches of his grace. That's how we come into an understanding of it. But here's the blessing, brethren. Here's the riches. We have his ongoing, continual, constant intercession for us at God the Father's right hand. That's the only reason we're not consumed. His constant, continual intercession for us at God's right hand. He said, God said, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. He's referring to you and me as the strong, and we're anything but that in ourselves. He has taken his inheritance, and he's made us joint heirs with him, and he's going to divide that spoil with us. And he's our strength. He poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. That's why he's sitting there. He made intercession. He already did it. He's sitting there at God's right hand, and his very presence, his very wounds speak to God and say, I've done it. I've made intercession. And that's the intercession he makes for us. When we're cast down, you sin, or you get puffed up, or you act like you didn't even know him, like you never even known God. You act like you're a beast and not a man, and you don't have even the wisdom of a man, and you see it. The Spirit of God helps our utter weakness, because we don't even know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He's all your strength. That's what he's saying. I'm your strength. That's why you're the strong. You can't even pray. It's my Spirit making you pray. That's what he said. You know, it's bad to be condemned by others, but that's not the worst condemnation by far at all. The worst condemnation is when we condemn ourselves. The worst condemnation is when you don't have any faith and you're condemning yourself and you're convinced in your heart, I'm not a child of God. That's the worst condemnation. You know, you start looking at your sin. And really what you're doing when you're looking at your sin is you're saying, if I was more righteous, I'd be okay. And it's just the same sin. Sin is self-righteousness, and self-righteousness is sin. It's what we eat, sleep, and breathe. But when you're in that place and you cannot lift up your head, and you cannot, you don't know what to pray, and can't pray, and the Spirit himself makes intercession for you, and he makes you start groaning. Here's the one thing. This is the light. Here's the great pearl that comes into the heart right here. This is what the Lord says to you, child of God. He comes and says to you, who is he that condemneth? Who are you to condemn? You want to be chastened? Really chastened? People talk about, oh, I need to, you know, do whatever to try to, you know, and most of it's just more self-righteousness. It's God coming to you and saying, who are you to condemn? Who are you to condemn yourself, God says? Who are you to condemn yourself? Well, that's when the clouds roll back. God says, it's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that's risen again, who's at my right hand making intercession for you. And that's when you got some riches then. My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. I would to God I wouldn't sin again, and I would you wouldn't either. There's something about sin, brethren. I can't really explain this, but the more we try not to sin, it seems like the more we sin. The freeness of grace is when God's got your affection looking to Him and you're not even regarding yourself. That's when you're really worshiping Him. That's when you're really walking and trusting Him. But when we're trying to, you know, put it away and this and that, we just get more wrapped up and more wrapped up and more wrapped up. But here's where it keeps bringing you. When we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins. This is so of His people everywhere all over this world. Don't forget that, brethren. Remember when Peter said He's working the same... He said He's accomplishing the same affliction in your brethren. He afflicts them just like He's afflicted you. And the same thing He's working in you, He's working in your brethren. He's the advocate with the Father, a propitiation for our sins, for the brethren everywhere. Everyone in this room and everyone in this world. Remember that. He's able. He can work it. He can save you, brother, just like He's saving you. And it's His riches, it's His person, it's works that makes us see ourselves as the least. It's all this richness of our Lord that keeps us seeing ourselves as the least. And more seeing ourselves, making us more and more the least, making us less than the least, and then eventually making us to be the chief of sinners. You know, earthly riches puff men up in pride. But so does pride of grace. So does the revelation of Christ and the things He's teaching us. You know, when Paul was taken to the third heaven, the reason God made him suffer like He did was lest he be exalted because of the revelation. And we want wisdom, we want instruction, we want knowledge, and the more He gives you that, the more He's going to afflict you. Because if He didn't, knowledge puffs up. But thankfully, our Lord is going to keep us not seeing ourselves as wise, and not He's going to keep you seeing yourself as the fool. That you might be wise, because then you see all your wisdom in Christ. That's what He's working. You know, David, we're looking through Psalm 119, and David, I mean, you just see a man that you think, what a wise man. Look, us looking at him, we say, what a wise man. How the Lord instructed him and taught him and gave him good judgment and gave him knowledge. And what do you hear David saying constantly? Lord, teach me. Give me understanding. Give me knowledge. Don't let me fall away. Don't let me behold vanity. Keep me looking to you. Keep me, Lord, teach me. See, he didn't see himself as wise. That's true wisdom. The more he gives it, the less you see yourself as having it. Because the more you see he's it, he is the wisdom. Rejoice, brethren, that God keeps us in that place between riches and poverty, between pride and despair. He keeps you in that place where you need to be, knowing Christ alone is your riches. He's your pearl of great price. He's the treasure hid in the field. And he's going to make these riches in this world, in our flesh, in our sins, in our self-righteousnesses, even in our graces, in everything about us, he keeps you seeing anything that's of you or of this world as being fool's gold. Including our money and our stuff and what, you know, we like to call, and they are blessings, the things he temporarily gives you. He gives you all things richly to enjoy. But don't set your heart on those things and don't think that's your blessing and that's your riches, because when he takes them away, you will be in utter despair. He's your riches. If he took all of it away, you still got him, and that can't ever be taken from you. There's your riches. You think of every carnal thing you possess right this minute. Think of every carnal thing you possess right this minute. He said, take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. You take everything you own, everything you possess, and I'm talking about even the grace he's given you, all these things. Take everything you've ever done right now, everything. If you die tonight, what is the one thing that's going to be your salvation? Of everything you have, the one thing that's going to be your salvation is Christ. When that moment comes, and you know you're about to stand before God, God's not going to let his child look at anything we've ever done or said or accumulated or any of that, because that won't be any comfort to you. That'd be like a drowning man latching onto a stone. He's going to make you see Christ and see he is your salvation and him only. I wish we could see that. I pray God make us see that. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If you have Christ, Scripture says you're complete. If you have Christ, Scripture says you're complete. You're accepted of God, and through faith in him, you shall enter into an eternal inheritance with him, and he is the inheritance. And so our Lord keeps speaking to us. Anytime we're looking anywhere else and we're looking at something else and we set our covetous, sinful heart on something and think that's our riches, whether it's something really good that we've done and think that's godliness and, boy, we're really pleasing God now, or whether it's something really sinful and we think, oh, we can't be God's child now. Whatever the case, riches or poverty, he comes to you and he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. You know what that gold tried in the fire is? The fire is the cross, and the gold's the one hanging on it. And that fire did not consume him. He consumed the fire. The reason your faith is called more precious than gold, it's not because of your faith, it's because of who your faith is trusting. That's him. That's him. Every time he does that, he makes you see you're a poor, bankrupt sinner in yourself. But he makes you see the reason that the king's daughter is all glorious within and her clothing is of worked out gold is because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's it. You know, if the wealthiest man in this world came to you today and he said, I will make you rich and I'll provide for you the rest of your days. The only thing I require of you is this. Come to me and tell me every single debt you have that you owe. And stop trying to pay them yourself and trust me to pay them. You'd have to be out of your mind not to take that, wouldn't you? I bet you'd go to your account and you'd start seeing everything you owe, everything. You'd look at all and see everything you owe, and you'd go to them and you'd say, "Here, let me see. Wait, let me go look. Let me see if I can find something else. Here's something else I owe." And you'd just not stop till you told him everything you owed. That's what examining yourself is. It's seeing you don't have anything but debts in you. Nothing but debt in you. And it's going to Christ and confessing every single debt you owe, every single sin you know of, and then to make sure you confess it all to him, you tell him, "And Lord, I'm just conceived in sin. That's all I am. There's secret debts I don't even know I've incurred. Would you pay those for me?" And the riches is he makes you know, "I have paid them. And I'm providing you with everything you need, every step you take, every breath you take." That's why the psalmist said, and when he does that, this is what the psalmist was saying: "He restoreth my soul." When he does that for you, that's what he does. He restores your soul. "And he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He makes you see he's the way, and he leads you after him. It's the soul. It's a union with him. Union with him. "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And in the end, you are heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Go through the scriptures sometime. I got a lot more here, but I'm not going to go through it. But you go through the scriptures and just look at how much scriptures talks about the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. The riches, the riches, the riches. He says, "I counsel you, come buy of me wine and oil and without money and without price. Your soul will be rich. Your soul will be rich." Amen. Our gracious Father, we thank you for this good news, and thankful, Lord, for your unspeakable gift. Lord, thank you for keeping us looking to you. Thank you for finding all our treasure in you alone. Lord, would you please be willing to work this? And would you make us wise, make us have true understanding. Make Christ our wisdom. Make us find all our riches in him alone. Forgive us, Lord, for panning for gold in this flesh and the works we do in the world, and dry it up, Lord, and make us find it all in Christ only. In his name we ask it. Amen.